Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. So what are the 100 best restaurants in New York? On many lists, you'll find many of the same high-end spots dominating the selection. These gorgeous and spendy places like Per Se and Daniel. But this year, Time Out New York's food and drink editor, Bao Ong, decided that its list of the 100 best restaurants in New York needed a serious overhaul. That meant removing 65 restaurants from Time Out's old list and replacing them with updated picks to reflect the fact that you don't need to spend an arm and a leg to have a fantastic culinary experience in New York City. So which of your favorite spots have made the cut? Here to walk us through Time Out New York's the 100 best restaurants in New York City to dine at now is their food and drink editor, Bao Ong. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
So what's so interesting, we were just chatting beforehand, I'm not giving away too much, is you spent several years at Bon Appetit magazine before coming to Time Out. So you're sort of new to the list. So when you came in and you realized, you know what, we should think about this a little bit differently. You know, taking 65 restaurants off the list, that's a big overhaul. What wasn't working with the old list, or what did you want to change?
Well, first of all, in revamping this Time Out New York top 100 restaurant list, we've introduced these 65 new restaurants that we feel better reflect how New Yorkers actually dine out. It's a much more approachable guide with the emphasis on diversity in terms of price point and the boroughs we've dined out in, the types of cuisine and the chefs that we've decided to feature. And I think it's also worth noting that a lot of these best restaurant lists that we read out there tend to skew towards the high-end fine dining places. And, you know, these are the places where you kind of second guess, am I wearing the right outfit? Where does the fork go? Where does the knife go? And, you know, we respect these restaurants. We love a lot of them. But these aren't the places that you and I are going to once a month, if once a year. And I think that speaks to the Time Out reader as well as the 8 million New Yorkers out there.
Yeah, you're right. This is really interesting. It's that you're right. You'll notice that the Michelin-adored restaurants and temples of haute cuisine, 11 Madison Park, Per Se, Daniel, for example, are no longer on the list. While we still respect these white tablecloth restaurants, we're much more interested in taking a holistic look at how dining has evolved in 2019. So what do you mean when you say holistic? What went into your criteria this time around?
I think New Yorkers want a wider diversity of experiences. They want to dine out. I want to dine out a place that I can just drop in on a Wednesday night and not have to worry about, hey, am I going to make rent because I want to have dinner tonight?
Right.
And I think our list does a good job of giving readers a great variety of restaurants.
So as someone who's worked in the culinary industry for a while, what is behind that idea that a meal that is expensive is good? Like expensive equals good. What do you think's behind that?
Well, you know, running a restaurant is expensive. The profit margins are never high. It's hard work. But, you know, restaurants can offer something much more approachable. For example, Crown Chai is number two on our list, and it's one of the most exciting openings of 2019, in our opinion here.
To give a little backstory about Crown Chai, the chef is normally associated with some of these high-end places.
Exactly.
Tell us about this.
Yes, he came from years of cooking at 11 Madison Park, which was last year ranked the top restaurant in the world.
It's a glorious restaurant.
It really is. I haven't had the experience of having a formal meal there, but everyone loves it. But James Kent.
It was one of those, like, I got this amazing job meals. That's the kind of place it is, for me anyway.
Yeah, and continue. We love those type of places.
Yeah,
and I think
do.
Our readers also want to know about those type of places. So James Kent, the chef, opened Crown Chai earlier this year with his business partner who also worked at Del Posto, another one of those fine dining restaurants that we talk about all the time. But at Crown Chai, though, you know, you don't have the white tablecloths, but you have really on-point service. The servers, you know, they're in jeans and white t-shirts. But what you see on the plate is something that you could easily find at these three Michelin star restaurants, and the quality as well.
So it sounds like the experience of dining there is not intimidating.
No, not at all. It's fun, in fact. I think, you know, the music is lively. There's good energy in there. The lighting is great. And it's in Phi Dai. Who would have thought that, you know, Phi Dai is a place that you'd go to for dinner?
Yeah, I think when a lot of people think about Phi Dai, they think about the suits, folks going out on expense accounts, for those who still have them, and it being a little bit more stuffy. It sounds like it's kind of a hip place.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most expensive menu item is barely over $30, but most of it is $25 or under. And I'd also add, don't miss dessert.
Oh, good note. Bao Ong is my guest. He is the food and drink editor for Time Out New York. We're talking about the 100 best restaurants in New York City to dine at now. So how did you find new places to add to the list? What was the process?
So we're essentially a two-person team, Emma Orlo and myself. And, you know, we're dining out 5-6 times a week. We try to hit up a mix of the new openings. We want to go out, you know, in Queens, in the Bronx, definitely Brooklyn these days, and make sure that we're also going back to places that have been open for a few years that don't necessarily have as much attention, because I think those are the restaurants that also deserve coverage as well, because anyone who works in a restaurant will tell you that it's the regulars who kind of keep them afloat. And, you know, so we definitely want to strike that good balance of new classics and kind of undiscovered places.
That's great, because under this idea of your new holistic approach, there might have been something that opened 6 or 7 years ago who didn't necessarily make the list, but under your new approach, they'd be perfect. It'd be a perfect place.
Exactly.
Let's talk about fast casual restaurants. So fast casual, it's the idea that it's not table service, but they use high quality ingredients. When I think of fast casual, I think like Sweetgreen's. Is that kind of the dig in that area?
Yeah, very so in that vein. For example, Taranga, a restaurant in Harlem in the Africa Center, is this lovely restaurant where, you know, you order at the counter and there's, you know, a number of different dishes that you can order, definitely with a West African influence. It was a cuisine that I wasn't terribly familiar with, but it was, you know, I would highly recommend it to, you know, anyone that's looking for a restaurant recommendation. And the chef, Pierre TM, is very talented, and he's helped kind of introduce this cuisine, I think, to a wider audience.
When you think about West African cuisine, what are we talking about?
Jollof would be something that's very common. It's a rice dish. You know, you might get sides of various stewed greens and plantains, you know, a protein, whether it's seafood or a meat.
There are 31 restaurants on the list featuring East and South Asian cuisine. There's Thai, Japanese, Malaysian, Indian, Korean. You guys really went for the figuring out how to make it a more diverse list. Why is Asian food really so good in New York right now?
I think it started off as, you know, New Yorkers felt like, hey, I can go to Chinatown and have a meal for $10, and it's really satisfying. And these chefs started realizing, hey, there's a demand for this type of food. And we don't always have to charge, you know, $10 for an entree. Mm-hmm. But people want the flavors that, you know, that we've introduced to New Yorkers. So, for example, our number one restaurant, Ugly Baby in Carroll Gardens, it's literally the hottest Thai restaurant in New York right now. Everything's so spicy, but you keep eating it and you can't stop.
The name is hilarious. Is there a reason behind the name Ugly Baby?
I don't actually know the name behind it, but I keep going back.
Oh, that's so funny. So there are 5 vegetarian restaurants on this list. How has vegetarian cooking evolved? Have these chefs really stepped up their game?
Definitely. Superiority Burger, for example. The chef came from working at Del Posto. He was the head pastry chef, I believe, there. And, you know, he has an amazing vegetarian burger. But there's so much more available there. You know, all the side dishes there are amazing. He makes great desserts as well. I think diners who want vegetarian or vegan cuisine have so many more options today. Mm-hmm. Readers are mindful about, you know, kind of non-meat options, and people want more elevated vegetarian offerings.
And it sounds like the market has responded.
Definitely.
My guest is Bao Ong, the name of the magazine. Article is the 100 best restaurants in New York City to dine at. Now, I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball. You're talking about all the things you like. Is there a restaurant trend that you wish would go away?
A restaurant trend that I wish would go away?
Or has outstayed its welcome?
You know, when I hear the term farm to table, you know, that I can't help but roll my eyes a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's such, you know, the word gets thrown around so much that it's almost lost a lot of meaning.
Interesting, yeah.
Because I think that's become the standard now these days. You know, people want to know more about where their food is sourced from. What's the inspiration behind a dish? What is this chef's MO behind this menu?
But the idea is that it's become a little bit cliche. Like it's something you would hear in an SNL skit, maybe.
Yeah. What does farm to table mean now?
That's my thing I wish would go away is when a restaurant is, if you can't get a table and they say we're fully committed, that makes me crazy. I'm just saying you don't have space.
And then you sit down and you see, when you do sit down, there are 5 empty tables.
Yes. We're fully committed for the evening. I'm like, I'm not asking you to marry me. I just want, there's a table.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about, so we talked about Crown Shy already. Let's talk about one that a restaurant that does have a Michelin star, but for, when you think Michelin star, you think big price tag. Sometam Der? Is that how I'm pronouncing that right?
Sometam Der, yes. It's one of my favorite Thai restaurants in the city. It's in the East Village. It was one of the first, maybe the first Thai restaurant in New York to receive a Michelin star. And it's an Isan cuisine, so it's not something that New Yorkers were very familiar with a few years ago. And I think it speaks to this trend of regionalized Thai cooking. You know, we're not talking about just pad Thai or a tom yum soup. You know, we love those dishes, but Thai food is so much more than that. And sometimes Georgia does a wonderful job of, you know, giving diners, you know, options from really, you know, fragrant, you know, these larbs, you know, a salad that's very common, or different Thai sausages, different soups that, you know, you wouldn't see on, you know, your takeout menu.
That's so interesting. So the idea of, you said to somebody like, oh, let's go for Thai food. And they thought, oh, we've had Thai a million times. This is the kind of restaurant you go to and have a new experience with Thai food, it sounds like.
Definitely. And, you know, it challenges you a little bit. It makes you feel, you know, this is what I would get if I went to Thailand.
That's always a good thing. Maison Yaki and Prospect Heights. That sounds like two kinds of cuisine.
French Japanese. The chef has a very well-known restaurant just across the street, Olmsted. It was on every list a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But Maison Yaki, one of the reasons I love it is that everything from cocktails to food, everything's $9 or under. I don't know how they do it, but I've been there several times, and you know, it's very consistent across the board. It's fun. It's a great place to go with a group of friends, and you share a bunch of small dishes, and you know, you can go once a week
for that price point. Yeah. Bao Ong is my guest. He's the food and drink editor for Time Out New York. We're talking about the 100 best restaurants in New York City to dine at now. You have a place on this list that serves Hawaiian food. How does one serve Hawaiian food?
Norita. Also in the East Village, the chef Chung Chow. You know, I think he's done an excellent job of showcasing Hawaiian food in a way that's not gimmicky. You know, in our write-up, we mentioned, you know, there's not tacky decor at this restaurant. You know, the focus is really on the food. So, for example, you can get a version of loco moco, which is a very local Hawaiian dish. It's usually a rice dish with a brown gravy and a protein, and you can order this for brunch. And it's very well executed. You can even get spam masubi. You know, people have their opinions about spam, but it's very it's very Hawaiian, and you know, they just do the food very well, and you know, they kind of introduce you to these new flavors of Hawaii that you wouldn't think. You know, it's not just all Mai Tais and, you know, pineapple fried rice.
Gotcha. If I'm out in Long Island City, where should I go?
Ada. Definitely. A small Indian restaurant. It reminds me of Ugly Baby in terms of it doesn't hold back in flavor. All the dishes, you know, just really surprise you. They're spicy, they're sweet, you know, they're really fragrant. The room is just as fun because it's always packed.
What about Korean food? Where would you suggest?
One of my personal favorites, Attaboy. It's in the Flatiron Nomad area. It's a little bit hidden behind the door, but once you're in there, you know, it's a very serene setting. It's pretty minimalist. All the plates are small, small plates meant to be shared, but the chef is very talented, and, you know, you can get uni on like a black rice dish, and the fried chicken is really good.
Oh, Korean fried chicken. It's my kryptonite.
No, they do it. They do an excellent job.
We've talked about main dishes. What do you think about desserts? I think dessert is actually a really fun thing to meet your friends for. What would you suggest for desserts?
Well, you know, there are restaurants in New York that just serve dessert only. On our list, you know, going back to Superior Order Burger, there's usually a special dessert that's featured every week.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, you pop in there. It's a small restaurant. So, you pop in there, you order dessert, you can, you know, walk to the park or finish off a meal. You know, if you eat somewhere else earlier in the evening, you can pop by and just grab dessert as well with your friends.
I loved a place I was on Sunday. You had Tim Ho Wan, the dim sum.
Love it.
So much fun. I mean, that's just a really good time. And it's really good for sharing. I've heard you say that a couple of times. It seems like this is a trend that is one you might like a little bit, this idea of sharing small dishes.
Yeah, especially, you know, dining in New York can be very communal. Mm-hmm. We all live in small apartments. We're not hanging out in our little shoebox apartments. So, you know, dining is very much a communal experience. And I think restaurants definitely realize that and capitalize on that.
Is there anything, it's so hard to ask on your list, is there a restaurant that's your favorite on the list or one you're just very excited that it made the list?
There's another restaurant in Queens called Para Papillon. They're only open on weekends. It's a bar, and they serve small bowls of soups. It's Thai, and they're $5 the last time I was there.
Wow.
And, you know, it's nothing fancy. It feels like you're in someone's living room.
That's kind of fun. That's a lot of fun, actually. All right, so if I want to see this list, where should I go?
Timeout.com.
My guest has been Bao Ong, food and drink editor at Time Out New York. Thanks so much for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.